The order looked legitimate. It even had each of our involved hunters' names on it, except for Holly, because she'd managed to avoid getting arrested. I couldn't believe this. Slugging each other was one thing, but lawyers? That was just plain nasty. You son of a bitch. 100 yards, Pitt. Better start walking, Armstrong suggested. You haven't seen me shoot, asshole, I muttered. You should have asked for 1,000. He started to say something else, but luckily another person interrupted our conversation.
Owen Zastava Pitt?
A thin, tanned-as-leather young man pushed past the 3 PT goons.
Is that you?
He sounded Australian. That's me. I shook his hand with my right while I crumpled the restraining order in my left, glaring at Armstrong. The Australian shouted at his friends.
It is him!
Then he went back to pumping my hand up and down.
The primary and one of the biggest bounties ever, Will. How do you do?
The other Australians followed along, and pretty soon I was shaking hands and getting slapped on the back by a bunch of friendly tough guys from a small company out of Melbourne. The PT hunters were forced out of the way. The interlopers even wanted to take their pictures with me.
What happened in New Zealand? We snuck a look at that great big fucking insect tree they built the silo over, and it's as ugly as they say. So the rumors about you blowing up an old one. True?
Sort of. I glanced over at my new enemies and shrugged. Celebrity. You get used to it. Come on, we need to go to the other end of the hall before I can tell the story. These morons just served me with a restraining order because we kicked their asses in a friendly little fist fight.
Really? Just for that?
It was even a fair fight. The Australian scowled at them.
What cocks?
I know. Chapter 4 20 minutes later, the tie was undone, sleeves rolled up, stuffy decorum had been ditched, and I was at the far end of the hall, surrounded by a crowd of hunters as I told them the story about facing off against the dread overlord in its home dimension. After the Australians had drawn attention, I'd picked up a mess of assorted Europeans, some Brazilians, 2 guys from India, and an absolutely stunning woman from South Korea. Apparently obliterating a great old one with a doomsday device designed by Isaac Newton was so awesome that it transcended all cultural and language barriers. Plus, it helped that I did great sound effects. Careful to leave out the classified or embarrassing parts, such as me being the chosen one and surviving zombie bites, Agent Franks's real identity, the fact that the MCB had been infiltrated by a death cult, or that the condition's necromancer had once been a member of MHI, it still made for a pretty nifty story. Plus, it had been a while since I'd had an audience where it was legal for me to actually tell it to. Everyone at MHI had already heard it 12 times. Earl and Julie came by at one point, with Earl just shaking his head in amazement. I wasn't getting the information that he wanted, but I was certainly succeeding as MHI's goodwill ambassador. Offending the gnomes and getting beat up that one time had been an aberration on my diplomatic resume. I could be perfectly decent at networking when I put my mind to it. Julie seemed rather proud of me and gave me one of those wifely, I knew you could do it smiles. I folded the restraining order into a paper airplane and sailed it over to Julie without even interrupting my narrative. She caught, unfolded, and read it while mouthing something that looked suspiciously like ducking mother truckers, but I'm not very good at lip reading. Julie immediately whipped out her phone, surely to call MHI's own attorneys. Our little spat with PT was about to get even uglier. You did not want to play business hardball against Julie. I was surprised when Agent Archer had joined my crowd, though he had probably been sent over to make sure I wasn't giving away any state secrets. So I pointed him out as one of the heroes of the Arbunep fight, Not that I had any idea what he had actually done during that particular fight, since I'd been rather preoccupied at the time. The young agent's cheeks grew red with embarrassment, but since I'd now singled him out as one of the good guys, he was pretty much trapped into agreeing with me about how stupendous everything had been. I finished the story with, "And the worst part, since the Dread Overlord wasn't actually on Earth, we didn't get to put in for the Puff Bounty." Most of the hunters laughed, while a couple of translators hurried to finish the story, and then their charges laughed, too. A few of the hunters didn't join in, and these were the ones that thought I was full of crap. I couldn't particularly blame them, since if I hadn't witnessed the mountain-sized squid god, I wouldn't have believed myself either. One German in particular was looking at me like I'd pushed his grandmother off her walker.
"You speak about creatures of unbelievable horror so flippantly. I wonder, perhaps, if you have ever actually seen one."
He was of average height, fit but not big, probably 40, with a neatly trimmed beard and a very stern demeanor.
"A great old one is nothing to joke about. Even speaking of them draws their ire."
"You think talking about them makes them angry? Try hitting one with an alchemical superweapon. I don't think we've met." He immediately handed me a rather nice business card.
"Klaus Lindemann. I am the commander of Grim Berlin."
That was one of the companies that Earl had referred to as All Right. Several of the other hunters had apparently heard of the German team as well, because there were some impressed-sounding whispers from the crowd. I stuck the card in my pocket.
"I intend no disrespect."
That's normally what someone usually says right before they disrespect you, I said as I handed him one of my business cards. Owen Z. Pitt, Combat Accountant.
"Yes, but your tale is absurd."
"You don't have to take my word for it." Lindemann sniffed.
"I did not intend to."
"Agent Archer." The Fed jumped, not used to being pointed out in a group of hunters. He swallowed hard, and Archer was one of those skinny types with a pronounced Adam's apple, so his discomfort was extra obvious.
"Yeah?"
"Sorry about blowing your cover." Several of the hunters laughed at that, since the guys with black suits and earpieces were obviously MCB. It didn't matter what country you were from, every hunter knew about the MCB, if not personally, then at least by reputation. "Care to tell our honored guests about how me and Franks blasted the Dread Overlord?" Archer was like a deer in the headlights. I knew from experience that he was pretty decent at lying to the press, but this wasn't a bunch of ignorant dupes to be led around by the nose. These folks made their livings killing things that weren't supposed to exist.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
He looked around nervously at all the waiting hunters.
"There's an official MCB press release concerning the events in New Zealand, and, shoot, that's all I can say."
"Thank you, Agent." Just having the official type corroborate that something had happened was even better, because now their imaginations would fill in the blanks. It gave my story a certain air of legitimacy. It was really neat. Giant alien death tree and crazy cultists. You guys would have loved it. Archer realized too late that since he hadn't simply shot me down, he had sort of verified my story to the others, which I'm positive hadn't been his assignment. The young agent tried to be discreet as he fled the crowd, probably worried that his superiors were going to chew him a new one.
"It's real enough," an Englishman told Lindemann. "The New Zealand government has a mutual assistance treaty with the BSS.
His tone suggested that their feelings about the British Supernatural Service were equivalent to our opinion of the MCB.
"Their select group were carrying on about one of our contracts at the time, but they left in a hurry to help damage control. Word from a chap on the inside was that they had to hide a big one." "I've seen the aftermath of this Obunet beastie," the leader of the Australians said. "The whole area's been cordoned off by military research. There's a new building on the spot. Looks rather like a very unnecessarily big silo, and I won't say what's inside.
Lindemann adjusted his sport coat.
So it seems that something extraordinary did occur in New Zealand.
The admission seemed to pain him.
I stand corrected, Mr. Pitt. You have my apologies.
I know what's in that silo. They're studying the Arbmunep. From what the cult leader told me, there are more of those things buried all over the world. Earl had wanted us to gather intel, so it was worth a shot. And that's not the weirdest thing we've seen lately. MHI has had a few really odd cases over the last few years. Mr. Lindemann used the word extraordinary. I'd say that fits. What about you guys? Anything extraordinary in your neck of the woods? One of the other Europeans, a stout, older man, leaned forward and said something to his translator. The translator hurried and spoke.
Like this thing that came from underground, there are things beneath Serbia. Tunnels from the middle of the world. The diggers?
The older man repeated himself.
The diggers of the holes are coming into the light. These are new things, but legend says that they have been here before.
Us too, said a bulky man with spiky black hair.
I am from Orzhobia Vyvoyskov Zaviriyachi Contract, White Eagle Military Contracting of Poland. Over last 2 years, we have seen many things come from below. Monsters came out of ground, revealed entrance to tunnels beneath woods. Things were, how you say, hibernating. For a very long time, but they woke up, and now they are gone.
Several others began to speak at once, talking about strange new monsters awaking and dragging themselves out of the earth. My Portuguese sucked, mostly because I'd learned it magically from a 500-year-old dialect, but I could have sworn one of the Brazilians said something about whole towns going missing. His translator was still trying to catch up when one of the Indians began telling us about how their government had forbidden his company from investigating a village that had been mysteriously depopulated on the border with Pakistan. Both countries were blaming the other, but the initial army scouts had reported finding freshly dug tunnels that led to what appeared to be the ruins of a city deep beneath the surface. That had only been 2 months ago.
It seems that many things long buried wish to be found again,
said the woman from South Korea. Her melodic voice cut right through the chatter, catching all of our attention. Her English was measured and carefully pronounced.
We were cautioned by our ambassador not to speak of it, but I believe we may have a related issue. In our region there was a disturbance on the ocean floor.
I hadn't noticed that we'd been joined by one of the translators from the People's Liberation Army. He snapped something at the woman from Korea, and though I couldn't understand a word of her response, I'm pretty sure her sharp response basically told him to go screw himself. The government interpreter ran off, probably to tell on her.
Pay no attention to him. There was an incident which was embarrassing to his country's navy. Our two governments had an agreement not to speak about this, but from what I am hearing now, I believe this should be known to all of you.
Your government? Your private or government? The big Pole asked, suspicious. MHI really did have a lot in common with our competitors.
I am privy to some things. You could call me a consultant,
she answered innocently.
Consultant? More like secret agent ninja,
one of the Australians whispered to me. Apparently he was familiar with the woman.
An anomaly appeared on the ocean floor, in over 2,000 meters of water. It rose from the mud overnight.
Anomaly? I asked.
A city.
When she said that, it stunned the whole group.
It is 2 kilometers across, and sonar indicates that there are approximately 20 structures, the tallest of which was over 100 meters.
Deep ones, maybe? The Pole asked.
Far too advanced for such creatures. We do not know what inhabited it, but we were warned to be on the lookout, since it appeared that the inhabitants abandoned the city as soon as it rose from the mud. We do not know where they went. The Beggar's Navy, pardon me, North Korea lost a spy ship over the disturbance, and then the Chinese Navy lost a submarine to an unknown force while investigating. Then they destroyed the city to keep it from falling into the hands of the Americans.
When did this happen?
2 weeks ago.